am sitting here with Lynn Archambault.
And hey, Donna.
Lynn is the director of the Women's Lodge here in Lake Andy, South Dakota, our domestic violence shelter. So welcome today, Lynn, and it's good to have you back to share the information with all our listeners.
Thanks for having me. I'd just like to start by saying that the Women's Lodge has a 24-hour crisis line, and that number is 605-487-7130, and that's manned by one of our staff on a 24/7 basis. So anyone that finds herself in a DV situation, or just maybe even just needs to talk to somebody, there's somebody there on that number 24/7, and it's 487-7130.
487-605-487-7130, and that is the crisis line. And as she said, someone will answer that phone should you need immediate help or if you just need to visit with someone.
Some of the services that we want to talk about today, everybody, I think, has a good idea of what shelter means. And that means that someone actually comes into our facility, women and children. We provide food, we have clothing, the general basic necessities of life, personal hygiene products, those sort of things that you might not bring with you. And most women that come into us don't have those things because they leave from a crisis and come to us. So to start with, we just provide the general basics of life. Mm-hmm. And then we try to make it comfortable. We try to make it as much a home for them as we can. And then we start reaching out to help them in other ways. We have housing applications that we help women with and try to get them on the housing list for the area. We all know that's a challenge for this area is housing. We do our best to support them in those efforts and filling out the applications and getting them right to the right people, along with all the supporting documents that go along with it. We help women get birth certificates and reapply for Social Security cards or whatever may have been lost in the transition of life. So that's one of the biggest things we do. We also have legal advocacy that we help with. We help women in need of protection orders, in need of any kind of legal services that they might be looking for. If they need divorce services or custody issues, we have several different entities that we can reach out to help them with that legal process that can be so taxing and so overwhelming. You know, one of the things we find in working in domestic violence and being a domestic violence advocate, a lot of the reasons, or one of the reasons that women go back is because they're just so overwhelmed in trying to work through the justice process to get the help and to get the protection that they need. They just get overwhelmed and they just give up and go back. So one of the things that we work really hard at is trying to give them the support that they need in that arena. We help them with job applications. We do anything along those lines as far as legal assistance, to be an advocate for them with the housing in the area, to even help them get started back getting their GED. If they come to us and that's something that they need to do to put them on a road to finding a better job and finishing up their education, we help them get started with tutoring and help them find the books that they need and that sort of stuff to get them moving along that road. And some of those services, you don't have to be sheltered for us to help you with. Mm-hmm. If you're safe, if you're with family and you're safe, but you just need somebody to maybe give you some support for a court date or give you some support on how to get that protection order filled out.
Okay, we keep mentioning protection orders or orders of protection. And why don't you go ahead and describe what an order of protection is? Because sometimes people think of restraining orders in these kinds of situations, and a order of protection is not a restraining order. It offers much more legal safety for a woman.
An order of protection gives a woman protection against the person who is abusing her. The judge signs an order, typically it's a temporary order for around the 30-day mark, that allows the woman time to find safety, to possibly get an attorney if she needs to do that. But what it says is that person cannot come within 50 feet of you. It says that that person can't continue to harass you and victimize you. It says they can't have a third party contacting you. It gives you the protection and the time that you need to get your thoughts around what you want to do to go forward. It doesn't matter if you get the protection order in tribal court or you get the protection order in state court. Mm-hmm. It's tribal entities. What's the word I'm looking for?
The jurisdiction?
Honor. If you have a protection order that was issued by the tribal court and you're at Walmart's in Yankton and your perpetrator comes up to you, they are going to honor your protection order. It doesn't matter if it's issued through tribal court or if it's issued through state court. That protection order goes with you. It is your protection. So any law enforcement officer should honor that protection order.
Now, are there instances where they may not honor it? Because I know there were some issues regarding this very thing, that the orders of protection were not being honored. Now, is that, in particular for women here in this area, is that an issue that they may run into?
You know, it's always dependent on the training and the knowledge of the officer that shows up on your doorstep. But if you have that piece of paper that's been signed by a judge, and ladies, that's the key, you have to keep that piece of paper with you, because maybe it didn't get put in the computer correctly. But if you have that piece of paper signed by a judge, I would hope that the police and the law enforcement officers in the area will support that document.
Okay, and if a woman does run into any issues with that, she can call you and ask you for some advocacy.
She absolutely can call me and ask me for some advocacy for her.
The other thing, just before, you know, before we move on from orders of protection, is that you mentioned that it is right around the 30-day mark that is issued for, but that can be extended, correct?
Absolutely. That's a temporary order. What happens is when you go and you ask for a protection order, it's one of the few orders that can automatically be signed off by a judge without having to have a hearing first. So if you go to the judge and say that you have been physically abused or you're afraid, you're in imminent danger, that can be faxed to any judge anywhere within the Charles Mix County area or within the tribal area. So if the tribal judge is not in on Wednesday and you need a protection order on Wednesday, that doesn't mean that you can't get it. Mm-hmm. It can be faxed to him. He can sign off on it. And then typically they set a hearing date for a permanent order. And that permanent order then can be put in place anywhere from a year up to 5 years. So, and what happens at that point is you go in for a hearing. Again, that's where we would come in for support. You would go into a hearing. A judge would actually listen to your side. He would have a chance to say his side. And then a judge would rule for a permanent protection order. And he would, at that time, state whether it's in force for a year, it's in force for 3 years, or it's in force for 5 years. And typically they ask a woman, you know, how long would you like to see this in? You know, how long do you feel like you need this for? Mm-hmm. So I think there's some misconception there and that you can't get it immediately. And that's the way it's all set up, is for you to get it immediately, for you to have it in place immediately, and for you to be protected immediately.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay, and you know, when we talk about these particular kinds of legal things, the legal advocacy part of the domestic violence work, it can be a little off-putting, because for most of us, including myself, you know, if I think of doing anything in any kind of legal avenue, I'm thinking, oh boy, you know, I just don't know anything about it. But that's what our advocates are for. And a woman can go on her own and ask for an order of protection. You can do that on your own. However, if you feel that you really want assistance with that, that's what Lynn does. That's what the advocate does at the shelter. So, you know, Lynn has a title of director, but she also holds a title of advocate, as we all do in our everyday lives. We all advocate for one another. And so she's very, very knowledgeable about this, as is obvious just listening to you. And that's exactly what we need to know. You know, those little details that can off-put us from pursuing something that can help us to stay safe.
Well, we work with a portion of Dakota Plains Legal Services, which most people in the area are familiar with when they've needed legal services in the past. They actually have a grant that has attorneys in place for women who have suffered in DV situations. And that's all they deal with, is domestic violence and helping women with custody issues, with divorces, with, you know, settlements, property settlements, those sort of things. So they're very versed, and we have those resources available to us. So we're very lucky that way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just want to reiterate that shelter services, you know, do not, we're not here promoting divorce, or we're not here promoting a family separation. What we are here doing is offering that woman and her children, if she has children — many times single women come in, or women who are separated from their children — to offer them a safe place. And should they desire those legal services regarding a separation, then that is available to them. And, you know, this is just something that we talk about, because there is, again, a misconception of what shelter service means. What women who seek safety in a domestic violence shelter or program, what they are seeking, and that is many times not a divorce, but simply a reprieve from a violent situation.
Well, and I think that's something that we need to make real clear, is nobody makes those decisions for you but yourself. We're there to help you, to support you, to guide you in anything that your wishes are. But nobody says you have to do this or you have to do that. Those choices are left up to the individual woman in their individual situation. And this kind of leads me into, Donna, another thing that we've become very supportive of and are very much involved in, is there's a new program, and the Yankton Sioux Tribe is the first tribe to fully adopt this program. And it's called the Collaborative Circle. And it is for families who maybe children have been taken away through CPS because of domestic violence situations or because of drug and alcohol abuse. But it is a collective circle of services in the area, both tribal and state, social services, us, all your tribal entities, the schools. And what we've done is we've come together as a community and said, okay, we have a family in crisis, and this family needs these services. Who can help them? It even reaches out as far as Lutheran Social Services in Sioux Falls. I mean, it's people who can come to the aid of these families, be it financially, be it through programs like our men's reeducation group. If there's DV and it is a family who wants to try to change the cycle of violence in their life but keep their family together, we offer those programs. There are services there, and it is something that the communities can come together and put together. So again, we're working in all areas.
Okay, so this particular collaborative circle mm-hmm. isn't necessarily just for people who are experiencing domestic violence.
No, okay. No. But it is for families that have been identified as maybe needing services outside of their family, be it financial support, be it a CPS situation, maybe treatment, drug and alcohol treatments needed. But it's to put the family on a, I hate to use the word plan, but together with like parenting classes, for instance, or all those entities have come together in one place and the families have come to this organization and everybody's in one place. So they're not trying to dig up the services right, that they need.
This organization and that agency, exactly. This person, and you know, these kinds of things are often tried within communities to bring those helping organizations together. Let me just ask you one question about this and this particular program, and then we'll move on to the men's reeducation because there's been some changes there. How is this different from any other agency attempt at providing this kind of service? Is there anything different? Is there anything new that the collaborative circle is implementing to help families in crisis?
Well, I can't speak a lot to that, Donna, because I don't know what's been done in the past in the area. Mm-hmm. I do know, though, that it is what I see from it and what the conversations that I've had about it is it's far reaching. It's not just in this county. I mean, like I said, that Lutheran Social Services is involved, and they're all the way out of the Sioux Falls area. This was actually brought to us, I believe, from someone on the Pine Ridge Reservation. So there's just a lot of outer lying organizations. It's not just here in mm-hmm. this county mm-hmm. within this tribe. It's outreaching. So hopefully,
well, that's
that'll make a difference.
Hopefully that'll make a difference because we're so transient that, you know, we have a lot of moving between Sioux Falls mm-hmm. and home again, and maybe up to Mitchell or maybe up to the, you know, the larger surrounding towns with us. And it can be, for anybody, that transition can be very difficult. And for people of color in particular, it can even be more difficult right. because of issues of prejudice and or racism. So those issues, I hope, are being addressed as well if families are running into that kind of thing. So that's great. Okay, now, the shelter services. Many women come in and have their children with them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there are times when a woman comes who has children, but she was made to leave the home mm-hmm. by the perpetrator without her children. So the children and maybe the services provided for the children are a major part of safety for women in shelter.
Absolutely. Again, we do our best to keep the family, you know, the women and the children together. The lots of women come that have children with us. We do our best to keep the children in school, see to it that their day-to-day needs are met. And then if it is one of those situations, like you talked about, where the woman is forced to leave the home and leave her children behind, then that's where some of that legal advocacy can come into effect. And, you know, we'll help you with filing custody papers and getting that process started so you can be reunited with your children. We see that, and I think Richard's talked about it a little bit in some of his, you know, stuff that he's talked about as far as the tactics that batterers use. And one of those is using the children. We see that a lot here where the perpetrator will say, well, these children are yanked in and you're not and you can't have them. Well, that's just not true. It's just not true. And it's something that women believe because they've been abused and they, you know, they've been told to believe that this guy's purple and they're supposed to believe it because that's what they're told. And it's just not a truth. So we've helped and we'll continue to help in that arena. But the biggest thing with the kids is, you know, we have toys, we have a toy room, we try to keep them happy and keep things as normal for them as we can, and it gives them a warm, safe place to lay their heads down at night.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things about that I must say about the Women's Lodge is that it's very comfortable and it's very well maintained. There's privacy. There's privacy in the backyard, so people are able to move about without neighbors looking over and seeing what's going on. And when a family moves into shelter, it is very hard because you are immediately thrown in with people you most of the time don't know. Many times maybe you do know, but a lot of times you're immediately living with people that you don't know. And there's small children so often involved with that. So trying to keep some semblance of order within that large household can be pretty daunting.
That's why we have guidelines and not rules.
Guidelines and not rules. And that's a very important point because rules used to be the order of the day in shelters. And, you know, those were just finally ousted because women who are living with a man who is abusive, who is controlling, that's exactly where they're coming from. Nothing but rules that they have to follow. And so, as Lynn said, there are guidelines, of course, and that's just to keep, you know, some semblance of order.
Well, and safety, too. You have to remember that, you know, the main reason most people are there is for their safety. So there has to be guidelines for confidentiality and, you know, just general house maintenance for safety purposes. But, you know, we try not to just have a list of 100 rules that you have to live by on a daily basis. So.
Right. That isn't what shelter is about. It is about keeping the woman safe and trying to meet her needs as she sees them the best that we can.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the men's re-education program. And if you could just go ahead and briefly describe that for our listeners, because there's been a change in day.
We have. We've changed to Wednesday night now from 5:30 until 8 p.m. at the Resource Center, which is 809 High Street. And to just give a good overall of what the men's re-education group is exactly that. It's a re-education class for men who maybe are not batterers in the sense of the word that we think batterers are, but have abusive behaviors. It's certainly for those who are batterers. But even those who say, well, you know, I don't hit her. Well, no, maybe you don't, but maybe you talk mean to her or you intimidate her on a daily basis. Or there's financial, you know, maybe you don't let her know what's in the bank account. You know, maybe that's one of your,
or have access to it.
Cultural abuse or ritual abuse. There's a lot of things that go into domestic abuse besides just what we think of with physical and sexual. You know, typically what we see at the shelter is that extreme, but there are a lot of things that go into domestic abuse. And Richard talks about those. He talks about those from a Native traditional angle of why we didn't used to have these things in the culture. You know, why those things were never a part of the Native culture before the white man came along and formalized religion came along and the things that got brought into the culture that were never there before. So he really looks at it from a lot of different directions. And if you are a Native man who has issues with anger or frustration, you would benefit just from the class, just from a traditional standpoint. I help co-facilitate, and basically my job is to say, yeah, but women feel this way about it. So Richard Milda, who is the facilitator of the class, is very strong traditionally And I have learned tremendous amounts about the Dakota and Lakota people from him and why things didn't used to be this way. Mm-hmm. Domestic violence was never a part of the traditional life within those nations and why they weren't.
And that's one of the things we talked about last Thursday or last Wednesday with mm-hmm. Richard, is that, you know, it wasn't a utopia we lived in, or our ancestors, their lives. There were instances of violence against women, but of course, as most of us know, they were very rare because they were dealt with immediately.
Right.
So
kind of like he said, it's hard to hide it when in a teepee. Within the walls of a teepee, you can't hide domestic violence going on like we can within our homes today.
Right. And we have a whole different kind of life today.
Absolutely.
And a whole different influence that we have for many generations have had to deal with. And, you know, the dealing of children and removing them from their home and forcing them into boarding schools. Of course, there was the whole movement of genocide
exactly.
against us. And so there are many, many things that we need to deal with in terms of our past history. But I do want to, you know, just talk about, you know, the anger and the anger management, that when we're talking about a batterer, the batterer does not get to say, well, you know, she shouldn't do that.
No.
You know, she made me angry. She, excuse me, pissed me off. And she knows she can't do that. Well, that's a big excuse. And that is not acceptable. A lot of people get angry and don't become violent and perpetrate that violence upon somebody else.
It's not your fault. You can't make somebody hit you. That's their choice to do that. So no matter what you say or no matter what you do, if someone hits you, it is their choice to do that. It's not because you did anything.
You know, I just want to say something, and you know, from a personal perspective here, I have two sons, and they witnessed violence as they were growing up in our home. And I started working in the area of domestic violence many years ago. And so I was around people who did this work all the time. And so they grew up listening to what goes on what domestic violence means.
Right.
And one time, my youngest son, he was just a little guy. He must have been about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, well, probably around 6. And he was standing in the back seat. Back then, when you, a little one could stand in the back seat. Yeah.
Before we had enough sense to buckle people up.
Yeah, enough sense. Thank you. And we were driving down the road, and I was visiting with, I don't know who it was, and he leaned over and he said, Mom, he said, when I grow up, am I going to be, I can't remember exactly how, he probably used the term, am I going to be, will I hit women, or, you know, will I hit girls? And I turned around and I looked at him, and, you know, it just made me very aware of how much our children take in, good and not good. And I turned around and I said, oh, I said, no, honey, I said, that just because you have seen this. And he said, because I'm going to be a man, will I grow up and then will I hit women? And I said, no, I said, no, you won't do that. And I said, there are lots of men who never are, you know, mean or hurtful to women. And I said, just because you're a boy and you're going to grow up and you're going to be a man doesn't mean that you're going to be hurtful to women.
Right.
And that's looking at choices.
Absolutely. And that's one of the services that the shelter Georgia Holiday is our advocate, our outreach advocate at the shelter. And one of the things that we're working really hard on going into October, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I truly am one of those people that believe to change a behavior or to change an attitude, you have to raise a generation to believe that way or to change their thought process on something. And one of the things that we're working really hard on is to get into the schools, into the area, and bring domestic violence awareness to the children of this area and let them know that there, you know, there's help out there, that there are people that they can reach out to, and that there is another, you know, it doesn't have to be that way.
It is not. That's just not an, many people believe that it's a normal thing.
But it's not. And one of the, you know, we have a program developed already for girls for teenage dating violence, and we're in the process of developing that for young men. And hopefully within, you know, the next few months or within the next year, we can get some of that, you know, get a program started where children go into a relationship equipped with the fact that it's not okay. It's just not okay for somebody to treat you that way.
And we can do that in schools. I mean, look at the smoking.
And that it's not okay for you as a young man to treat your partner that way. You know, it doesn't make you a man to, you know, say the things that you hear young men saying to women now. Oh, you be, or you ho, or...
Yeah.
And that's all supposed to be acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I don't want somebody talking to me that way. And, and I sure don't want somebody talking to my daughter that way.
That is definitely not part of who we are as Indian people, to call somebody their bitch or right. their hoe.
And so, you know, that's just a matter of we have to change. And it has to be a philosophy. It has to be a change in the thought process of our children that that's not okay. That's not, that doesn't make you a man. That doesn't make you a woman. That doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean that he loves you because he's going to call you that or because he's going to give you 15 hickeys.
Right.
That, you know, right. that doesn't mean that he loves you kind of thing. So,
but yeah, what I was saying about Lynn going into the schools, Lynn and whoever will be accompanying her, is that, you know, there was this whole campaign about smoking and the dangers of tobacco. And look at our children today. I mean, they, you know, these little ones.
Oh, yeah.
These little ones, if they see, you know, grandma or mom light up a cigarette or dad, they're, you know, they're right there and they said, there, you're going to die. You can't smoke. That's going to kill you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the same thing that you're talking about here. Same kind of education. We cannot be afraid to discuss these things.
No, and it goes back to, you know, we've got to educate our children. It goes back to the question that you had about the protection orders. We have to educate our law enforcement officers. We, part of October, on the 18th and 19th of October, we are having a countywide, I've even invited people, law enforcement officers in Douglas and the neighboring count Gregory and the neighboring counties to come. We have Pearl coming down from the coalition.
Pearl Goldbranson.
To present to these law enforcement officers the training that they are required by law to have. So we're doing everything as a organization to not only just shelter women, but to educate the people who these women come in contact with on a daily basis and who need protection from. So there won't be a question if that woman has a protection order whether it's going to be enforced or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to have the knowledge and the confidence to know that if she has that, if she's, you know, she steps out there and takes that huge step and has the courage to do that, to protect herself, that she's going to get the support that that's supposed to give her.
Right.
So we've had training for the clergy in the area, which has changed some thought processes there, that maybe there are times that keeping the family together at all cost is not the best thing. And I know Brother Martin and Nancy Capps have been on. So, you know, that it's all about education. It's exactly like you said. If we put as much effort and were as passionate about educating people about domestic violence and changing the attitude of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable as we have against smoking, man, what an awesome thing that would be.
Maybe we wouldn't, as women, have to go into our homes in the evening and make sure that everything's okay. But that speaks directly to how women are valued in our society exactly. Now. And in our a blended society is, you know, pretty much what we have now. And women are not valued. So when women are once again valued as for us as sacred, and for mainstream society or the larger society as more than property, then we'll start seeing an end to violence against women. But one of the, I have a little card here from the Women's Lodge. And it has the information on there. It's phone number, 24-hour crisis line, emergency collect calls accepted, serving Charles Mix, Eastern Gregory, and Southern Douglas counties. And that's the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center and the Women's Lodge. And so it has a lot of information on this little card, and right at the very top of it, it says there is no excuse for abuse. Nothing you say or do makes it okay for anyone to hurt you. And once again, the services offered are 24-hour hotline, support groups for women who are in abusive situations, information and referrals, emergency shelter, legal advocacy, and community education. All services are free and confidential. And the Women's Lodge number is 605-487-7130. And on the back, it has some information about what these particular types of violence mean. So domestic violence is the use of abusive behaviors to maintain control over a partner. Physical violence is hitting, pushing, slapping, choking, stabbing, biting, kicking, punching, hair pulling, etc. And so it's not just a closed fist.
Absolutely. I mean,
that includes everything. Sexual violence, forcing you to have sex or perform sexual acts against your will. Emotional violence, making you feel bad about yourself. Put downs, mind games, name calling, threatening you. And of course, everyone should know by now, violence against women is against the law. It is a crime. And hopefully, when it's taken to court, it will be prosecuted fully, to the full extent of the crime. And so, for anyone who's listening, and, you know, maybe, I'm sure we've got perpetrators out there listening, you know, you know, what you're doing is illegal. It is a crime. And there are services for women that can help her move through all of those kinds of issues. Because they can be so overwhelming for a woman to make that decision, to make that decision to leave that violence. And once again, that can be the most dangerous time for a woman, is when she finally makes that decision to leave, because that's when
things get the most volatile.
It gets the most volatile, and many times women lose their lives at that time. And so, as we've discussed before, it is now, we're looking at up to 17 times that a woman will leave that situation. It can be, it not always is, but it can be that many times, because it is so very, very difficult to leave. Not only because of the violence that she is facing, but because she may love this man. And I know in my situation, I did love him. I did love him. And I finally extracted myself from that relationship. But it took me many, many years to do so. And I still care about him. but, you know, there's a place in my heart for him. But I knew I could no longer stay in that violent situation because one of us would probably have ended up dead.
Right.
I even told him so one time, you know, after we had gotten out of that relationship with one another. I said, you know, one of us is going to kill the other. And he said, oh, you're scaring me.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's a very real,
it's scary.
You know, domestic violence, the ultimate end to it is death. And that's what we have to keep. That's what we have to keep in mind. Even though only 1 to 2% of domestic abuse turns physical or sexually violent, out of that 1 to 2%, people die.
Mm-hmm.
People lose their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole program called Silent Witnesses, and that's all that program is paying homage to the people who have lost their lives through domestic violence situations. And many of them are exactly like you said, when that woman finally steps out on faith and finally steps out on courage to remove herself from that situation, then for the first time, she's standing up and saying, no, Mr. Perpetrator, you're not going to get what you want.
No more.
No more. And that's when the violence really escalates. So that, again, that's why we have some of those guidelines in place at the shelter, is because that's what we're for. My job is to give women a safe, efficient place to come to. And that's what I try to do on a daily basis.
And they do it very well. I have come to know Lynn over these past several months and know that she's a very compassionate woman. And is there working very, very, very hard. Anyone who works at shelter works very hard to help women and their children. So, you know, always want to thank you, all you people who are out there every day working in this, doing this work. Say Nina Wopida Taka to you. And because it is so extremely important for women to know that they can find safety. And sometimes, you know, there are those instances, and they might be rare, but there are times when a couple can reunite and, you know, they can both find a way to be together. And, you know, sometimes that requires him to go to counseling or, you know, if he wants to put that kind of effort into it.
Usually takes work on both sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, the men's re-education group comes in. That's where our women's support groups come in. That's where parenting classes come in if there's children involved. Because if there's violence in the home, you know, there's things that need to be healed within those children, too. And that's what we're seeing out of that collaborative circle that's encouraging.
And of course, it's not only just, you know, going to a counselor at, you know, wherever, you know, in some building. I mean, there are many times when people seek out traditional spiritual
Absolutely.
Help and guidance with this. And so, you know, that's very much a part of our lives for many of us to search out and find help in that way. Once again, thank you for being here with us
today. I appreciate the opportunity.
And before I wrap up the program, did we miss anything that you wanted to speak to today?
The only thing that I might just leave with is that if you find yourself in a domestic violence situation or in even just in an abusive situation and you're not really sure what you need to do or what you want to do, or, you know, you're not at a place that you want to come to shelter, just think about some things and kind of put yourself a mental safety plan in place. You know, if things should get out of hand, who would I call? Maybe make sure that all your important documents are in one place. So if you need to leave, you have your birth certificates and your Social Security cards and those kind of things that you'll need to get support for you and your children in one place. If you have custody papers already, you know, that you have those in one place. Just, you know, just kind of make yourself a mental checklist of what you might need to do if you're put in that situation. And that's something, you know, we'd be happy to help you with. If you want to reach out to us on the crisis line and, you know, us help you put a safety plan, we call it a safety plan together. maybe you're just not feeling comfortable in the situation that you're in. Maybe things haven't escalated to physical yet, but you know, you just have that uneasy feeling in your stomach and it's like, okay, what am I going to do? Or where am I going to go? You know, maybe we can help you put some of those things in place. And that's what that 24-hour crisis line is for. And that's why we have somebody available to you 24/7. So like Donna said, we work hard.
And quite frankly, more times than not, it is not physical violence.
Absolutely.
It is the intimidation, is the threat of physical harm that keeps a woman in her place as he wants her. And of course, that's not what we're about. We do not keep women in their place, you know. And if we did, the place would be, we would have a much better place. Because, you know, in the past, women were considered sacred and treated as such. And children were considered sacred and treated as such. And the home was the woman's place. That home, she had total control of that home. And if her husband, her companion, misbehaved, treated her badly, treated her children badly, he was put out. All his things were set outside of that teepee, and that was it. And if he chose not to honor that, then he was dealt with.
By her family, usually. By her
family and the relatives and the community. So, you know, if we were in our place as Native women, we'd be in a much, much better place. So, but I do want to read this information to you, and this is an invitation to all of you to attend the 9th annual Candlelight Walk and Vigil, and this is October 17 at 6 o'clock p.m., and the walk will begin at Wagner City Park.
That's the park in town, not the little park out on the highway.
Okay, the park in town. And the schedule of events is a welcoming, of course, prayer, history of the program, a poem, traditional and contemporary. We will have singers there. Every year, one of our respected elders, Margaret Zephyr, comes and she sings for us there at the park. And drum group will be there as well. And then we will walk through from the park out on the main road there, down Main Street, going out to South Housing, through South Housing, and then end at the gymnasium. And then we will have a traditional meal that will be served, and we'll have some speakers there. So once again, that's the 9th annual Candle Walk and Vigil, the Take Back the Night Walk, and that's October 17, starting at 6 p.m. at the Wagner City Park, and we will be making this announcement many, many times, so people, you're all invited to attend. We have students from the area schools who attend, we have clergy who attend, we have, of course, community members, people from different agencies and organizations. And, you know, the young people love these walks. And so we usually have a lot of young people joining us along the way.
I think last year there was right at 300 people.
Yeah, we had a lot of walkers. That was the biggest walk last year. And so when we ended up at the meal, there were close to 300 people.
Right.
And we had about 150 people who actually did the walk, which
That's
is
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
In particular for a small community like ours. And in fact, of all the programs, the domestic violence programs in the state of South Dakota that are coalition, South Dakota Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault programs, we had the most in attendance at our activities. So that just is
says really, a lot for the community.
It certainly does. And it says a lot for the work and the preparation. We want to thank all those people who are there to support us every year in doing these things, in bringing the awareness to the community and facing this issue without fear and standing up, you know, standing strong. standing up with courage and fortitude every day to work to end violence against women. So I'm Donna Hawkes. I am your host for our Domestic Violence Awareness and Education Program. And I have been visiting today with Lynn Archambault, who is the director of the Women's Lodge, the Domestic Violence Shelter here in Lake Andy, South Dakota. And the shelter not only offers services to the local area, but we have people coming from, you know, Gregory, from
Douglas
County, and, you know, the surrounding counties. And that it is not only for Native women. This shelter serves all women, no matter who you are, whether you're Native, whether you're white, black, Asian. It doesn't matter. It is a shelter and safety for women. So if you have any questions, please call Lynn Archambault at 605-487-7130. And once again, thank you, Lynn.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.